This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply. Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's go. Play Test C, episode 257. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can find the Play Test C playlist there. It has all of our episodes there. Hit the thumbs up if you wouldn't mind. And subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. You can find our Play Test C on the socials, at Play Test C on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. A lot going on. I mean, this year we haven't been doing only after series shows. So it was Pat and I last podcast, but we talked about the first two games. We went over the first two games. And yet, even though we only have half a series to work with here, there is so much to talk about. And it all starts with the huge news of the day. Like they had a huge, unbelievable, dramatic comeback victory in the third game of the series, and then a nail biter, like you barely got away with it in the fourth game of the series. It's a four game sweep of the Orioles, and yet that's not the top story of the day, because the Red Sox are about to debut their fifth top 100 prospect of the season. The best pitch. Okay, that's where I'm going to start this off, because Peyton Tolley's getting called up. It's going to be magic at Fenway on Friday, seeing Peyton Tolley make his debut against Paul Skeens. Like, how much better can it get? And I just got home. I was in New Hampshire for the week, and I'm home now. And on the drive back, I was thinking, like, Peyton Tolley is the best Red Sox pitching prospect to date. Like, at the time of his debut, the highest thought of since what?
prospect, like prospect pedigree wise?
Yeah, because like I feel like by the time Henry Owens debuted, like there was a little bit less shine there. And I think Tully's ahead of where Bayo's at. And outside of that, like then you go back to like Clay Buchholz.
Yeah, I would say this is the most highly regarded pitching prospect in all of our lifetimes. I think easily that would be the last 30 years.
It's not for you,
I don't even think it's close. I mean, yeah, okay, all right. I'm 30. Everyone listening, I'm 30. I'll be 31 soon, but I'm 30. Right?
You're 30 like Fausto Carmona's name is Fausto Carmona, but go on.
All right, Roberto. So no, this is the most highly regarded pitching prospect in the last 30 years, we'll call it. And that doesn't mean he'll be the best pitcher the Red Sox have had. I don't think he'll be, you know, Pedro Martinez, but Pedro Martinez was not a prospect with the Red Sox, so he's not on the list. So yeah, I think it's pretty comfortable I'm saying that. And when you look at a guy like Henry Owens, yeah, he was on those top 100 lists, but the scouting reports were kind of like, yeah, good command. He pieces it together. He's got five different pitches, this, and that, kind of little Jamie Moyer-ish. With this kid, Peyton Tolley, it's like watching an adult play against kids in AAA. Like he got started nightmare first inning in AAA. He gets first two outs, and then Mike Romero makes an error, and it leads to 6 runs, 5 earned for Peyton Tolley. Just disgusting. Since then, 14 innings, 7 hits, a million strikeouts. I should have had that, but he's been amazing. I when was the last time we were this excited about a Red Sox pitcher debuting? And I don't want to hear Brian Bayo, because we were excited, but it was not to this degree.
I was pretty excited about Bayo, but you're right. It's not. He had kind of a similar rise, but like Bayo, it kind of felt like, yeah, he's probably not ready. It's kind of an emergency, and maybe Tolley's kind of the same. I mean, if it were up to them, he wouldn't be debuting right now. But I agree. There's more shine on him than Bayo. Pat, would you agree with that? I think there's more shine on Tolley right now than there was on Bayo. What was it? 22.
22. Yeah. Yeah, 22. No, I agree. I think Tolley, in terms of like height, build up, everything, clears Bayo. I was the biggest Henry Owens guy. I was so big on Henry Owens.
Well, he threw like and, 3 no-hitters in a row or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Everyone was, yeah. But he was a great prospect.
The biggest difference is like obviously like social media. Like you're way more familiar with prospects now than you were, you know, 10 years ago. Let us not just gloss over the fact that they would not trade Henry Owens for Cole Hamels in his prime. Like, that is how good people thought Henry Owens was. So I think if you kind of took Henry Owens now and then put him in the hype machine that is social media, I think it would be just as big. Henry Owens was a big deal when he debuted. He was a huge deal when he debuted. That being said, totally clears Bayo. Totally, you might even have the edge on Henry Owens. I am ecstatic. I am so happy. And I can't wait to see the piglet go.
The piglet. I love that nickname. That's such a good nickname.
We all agree that it's the piglet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the piglet. I love that.
He's the piglet. And he's just like, I can't wait for Sox fans to like get to know this guy because he is such a good quote. Like everything that comes out of his mouth is fascinating. Just like, I can't wait. Like his post game or even when he first comes up, like this is the guy who's like, oh, you can really smell that carrot. And then like he said it again in another interview and he's like, actually, you know, I don't really like carrots. So you can smell the donut. You can smell that donut. Like that's who this guy is. Like there's a lot of players who try to play it really, really, you know, calm, whatever. They don't say much, don't create stories outside the game. And he's just like living his life. He's free. I mean, the guy literally debuted this year. People we need to recognize how crazy that is. Like this isn't like the Los Angeles Angels who have guys debut like in the year they're drafted. Like they do it like it's nothing. Like the Red Sox, they're very cautious with prospects. They take it slow. And this is a guy who made it, started in high A, you know, he came out of college, starts in high A, gets to double A, gets to triple A, 3 starts. His final start in triple A was phenomenal. 5 innings, 1 hit. No walks, no runs, 9 strikeouts. Like he pretty much just walked through his third AAA start. And like, yes, he let up the, what was it? 6 runs, Sam, you said in that first inning, he let up 6 runs.
5 earned,
after that, 14 innings, 1 run.
Come on. How many Ks? I'll go pull that up.
It wasn't as much as you think. He struck out a ton in the last one, but I think he only had 3 strikeouts in his debut. So it kept the overall number down. I don't know what the second start was.
His last two, he had 5 strikeouts over 5 innings and then 9 strikeouts over 5 innings. So 14 strikeouts over his last 10 innings. Wow. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm fired up for this, man. This is, and the fact that it's against Paul Skeens, we were all talking, oh, make it Crochet versus Skeens, which would have been very funny because I just found out a skein is a term for like a bundle of yarn. So skein.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just found that out. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
But that's this, really interesting. That's
this
really
is
good.
Sick though. This is so cool because first off, he gets the Pirates. That's a really good team to debut against. They're not very scary. It's just a notch above a AAA lineup. Some names that you'll recognize: O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, Henry Davis. If you're a big prospect guy, but that's doable. It's not like he's debuting against like the Yankees or the Phillies or something. And then you get to see Skeens on the other side. This is entertainment, boys. This is what we love. I love games like this. I'm fired up to get to Fenway today as you're listening.
Got me really hung up on this Crochet Skeens thing. When Paul Skeens eventually signs with the Yankees, those matchups are going to be the matchup of the yarn.
So a skein of yarn, S-K-E-I-N, but it's pronounced the exact same way, is an oval-shaped oblong bundle of yarn. So I actually have some skeins of yarn in my apartment.
You've got some skeins of yarn?
And I can crochet this. I can crochet the skeins.
You can crochet the skeins right in front of our faces. Crochet that skein.
Yeah, baby. Woohoo!
How many batters do you guys think Peyton Tully walked in his 3 AAA starts?
I'm gonna guess he walked. Let's see. He probably walked 1 in the first outing, 1 in the second, and none in the third.
You nailed it. That's exactly what it was. 1 in the first.
Because he was reading the stat line.
Oh, you.
Did you not see his head moving line to line?
All right.
I thought that was obvious. That's what I was doing. I had it up from when I looked at the strikeouts.
Cocksucker. All right. So, yeah, we're excited for Peyton Tully. I think, like, it's overall, it's not many teams. I tweeted this out. I think it's like 5 teams right now on Pipeline have 5 top 100 prospects in their organization right now. And Tully's about to be the 5th. That the Red Sox debut this year. It started with Campbell, then you had Meyer, then you had Anthony, then you had Password, and now you got Tully. And the truth is, it's like, yes, it's like, oh my God, 5 top 100 guys, but 4 out of these 5 aren't just like top 100 guys. They're like high upside, high potential dudes. And that's, I guess, the next question I'm going to ask for you guys. And Sammy, I want to start with you because you are the resident Peyton Tully. Like, you're the leader of the Peyton Tully train. What do you what do you think his ceiling is, and where do you think he all, like, when it's all said and done, when he settles into who he is, like, what do you think this guy is going to be at the major league level?
Ceiling is a tough term for me because I really don't like putting a cap on a top prospect like this, especially a guy who's ascended. So I see him as hopefully a number 2 or a number 3 starter in the big leagues, big strikeout potential with the upside of someone like Garrett Crochet. There's a lot to, you know, not the same path to the big leagues, but body type, they're both 6'6", 250 roughly, him and Crochet, both strikeout guys, both great extension, both have great secondaries now. Tully's getting there. He has a great secondary with a few good pitches after that. But yeah, I mean, this is a guy you can dream on. You know, the huge strikeout potential, the attitude is unbelievable. We spoke about it earlier. He's so comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't seem to get shook by the moment. A little bit in his first start, he seemed a little off his game, but he settled in so quickly, very brief adjustment period. So I've been yapping about this guy for 2 months now. When he got the call up to AA is when I started to think, like, you know, you don't see guys go from, you know, first base DH pitcher, get drafted, and you're throwing 91, 92. Now you're throwing high 90s. Now you're blowing it by everybody. Nobody can touch you. All of a sudden, you're in AA, which is kind of where they separate the men from the boys, and he's dominating there too. Like, is this guy going to come out of the bullpen? And that's where I was wrong. This whole time where I've been saying, oh, they'll call up Tully, I've been saying it like he's going to come out of the bullpen. He's friggin' starting in the big league. So, man, if I'll put a bow on it, if you want to talk about ceiling, sky's the limit. But if I were to project, I'd say a very good number 2 or the top flight number 3 starter in the big leagues.
That's kind of where I'm at too, because, like, I feel like, I mean, we obviously rave about about a lot of the top prospects the Red Sox have. And for a guy like Tolley, like, it's the best pitching like the most dominant stuff that we've seen from a Red Sox pitching prospect in the Twitter era. I mean, I guess Henry Owens was maybe at the very beginning of it, but like, we just haven't had this. So I don't want it to be confused with, like, it's not like when, I don't know, like when Yuri Perez was in AAA and it's like, okay, this guy has like definite ace written all over him. That's not Peyton Tolley here. Like, Peyton Tolley is going to be really good. I agree with you, Sammy. I think he settles in as like a high end number three or maybe a number two with potential for a lot more, because I mean, you've seen how much he's ascended this year. It's not right to put, you're right, it's not right to put a cap on him, because who says he can't jump even more? But yeah, like right now with what he's got and how he's improved, it's really easy to see him settling in as a number two or three.
And if you're listening and you're not super locked in with prospects, you almost never hear people say, I think this guy's going to be an ace. It's guys like Yuri Perez, like Gordo just said, or Paul Skeens, who get that kind of moniker. Example. Yeah.
Why did I go to Yuri Perez?
It's a good comp. You almost never hear the word ace thrown around when you're talking about a prospect. So I'm not trying to denigrate what he's done. I think Peyton Tolley could certainly be an ace. But when we're projecting and trying to make an educated guess, odds are, projecting a starting pitcher who was not even a professional baseball player a year ago to be a number two starter in the big leagues is saying a lot. So yeah, I think this kid has a massive ceiling. I'm right now putting him number two, number three starter in the big leagues. And that's a compliment.
Definitely a compliment. Pat, are you there with that, or do you feel differently?
Yeah. I mean, like Sammy said, I'm never going to say, like, I think he's going to be an ace. I think he's gonna be a really good number two or a phenomenal number three. One guy who, just the way his fastball plays, not necessarily the whole repertoire, he reminds me a lot of like Eovaldi, the way his stuff plays. That, like, the fastball plays. Like, Eovaldi obviously throws gas, but like his fastball combined with his off-speed stuff just made the fastball that more lethal. That's kind of how Peyton Tolley is. The fastball alone grades out well above average tomorrow in the MLB. Like, tomorrow in the MLB. And then the off-speed stuff plays really well. And then I don't think he's going to jump in there and just light the world on fire, because that would be an insane thing to, A, like, expect, and then B, I just don't think the kid's fresh out of college. He's been out of college in pro baseball less than a year. I'm so curious to see what he looks like tomorrow or on drop day as we record right now. But like, the upside I think is there, like a really high end two, like an Eovaldi type. And I'll even go, his floor I think is just a strikeout innings eater. Like, he might not be the most consistent guy in terms of good ERA. He'll eat innings and he'll have strikeout stuff. And that is the most you could ask for in terms of ceiling floor from a guy who's a year out of college.
Well, the thing is, like, he already today, again, yeah, first year out of college, first year of pro ball, he has the best fastball in the minor leagues right now. Yeah. So that's, and when we talked about, and Sammy, you brought it up for like the last couple of months, we talked about him potentially filling in as a reliever. We thought that because he's got this elite fastball and his slider's really come along and it's turned into a pretty good pitch. He is still definitely a work in progress. Like, in a perfect world, the Red Sox would have five starters and would not be debuting Peyton Tolley right now, but he could come up and a two-pitch guy, like, you're able to, with his fastball, you're able to be a really good reliever. Like, he would be a really good reliever today. As a starter, like, maybe he will struggle. I don't know. Like, the big league hitters, it is a different animal. The gap between AAA and Major League Baseball has never been wider than it has been since 2020, since the COVID year. Since there was no minor league baseball, the gap has been crazy. So, I mean, keep your expectations where they may be. But even if he does struggle as a starter, I do think that this is a guy who, maybe at the end of the season, if they want to get him ready for the playoffs, or maybe you just throw him into that role in the playoffs if he is starting games well, he could be a really good reliever for you. He could impact postseason games. And then the other question is the innings. Like, do they have a cap? Do they have a number in mind? If so, where is it? Like, they cut him off at 64 pitches in his last AAA start. Like, is this going to be, like, do we know if he's going to start? Like, is it possible that they're going to open?
Probably going to go, I would say, between 2 and 4 innings on Friday. I don't think he's going to pitch a lot. Usually the Red Sox it's a different pitching group of coaches and everything in the organization, but it's usually around that 100 inning mark they start to shut guys down. I think they're going to let Tolley go over that. He has a very, like, wide, big body, which I think helps with the workload. He looks like a pitcher. And here's, I got another fun Peyton Tolley nugget. So I mentioned extension earlier. In AAA, he averaged, and this is from Sam Dykstra, friend of Baseballs and Boring, friend of Bradfo. So Tolley averaged 7.3 feet of extension. MLB average this year is 6.4. So for reference, Chapman also has a 7.3 foot extension, which puts Tolley in the 96th percentile for extension. So if his fastball, let's say, throws a 95 mile an hour fastball, you're like, why? Who cares about extension? That 95 mile an hour fastball probably looks a lot more like 97, 98. More if he throws 98 mile an hour fastball, probably looks close to 100. So that plays, that's like, like Logan Gilbert is a great extension guy. I believe he has the best extension in Major League Baseball. It's a weapon to have. It really makes up for if you're lacking somewhere. The extension kind of can cover up stuff. Not to say that Peyton Tolley has big time deficiencies that he needs to cover, but it's a good weapon to have. And I think the most, I mean, aside from him ascending through the minors like it was nothing, this guy has developed multiple secondaries that you could say are not really fringe, but plus-ish pitches, like the slider or whatever you want to call it, the sweeper. It's just come so far. Like he was a guy who was basically fastball with a show-me changeup to start the year, and now you have this slider that's nasty and a cutter, and he still has the changeup. It's not great. And then recently, and I'm talking about the last 3-4 starts, he started throwing a curveball. So he's adding pitches as he goes. It's really just the progression is something that we Red Sox fans have not seen. Like Henry Owens was a guy, when you read his old scouting reports, yeah, he throws a lot of pitches. The fastball is 88 to up to 94-ish. He's not really going to blow guys away, but he's crafty and he can generate chase with all the pitches. Like Peyton Tolley just comes right at you and is like, good luck. Fuck you. Hit this. So, oh man, I wish it was, what is it, 7 o'clock tomorrow, today, Friday, or is it another 6:40? Right, let's say that's around seven.
It's a seven. Then they start, once September hits, then the Monday through Thursdays jump back to 6:45 at Fenway. Like the Guardian series, the first game on Monday is like 1:30 because it's Labor Day, and then they're at 6:45, which I'm not a fan of, but I know a lot of other people are. I know I'm in the minority.
But anyway, yeah, the progress is unbelievable. It's not common at all. It's abnormal in the nicest way. Extension's amazing, throws heat, secondary pitches, getting there, has two other show me pitches, the changeup and the curveball. I can't wait. I think this kid's going to be really good. And Red Sox fans, by the way, we're bearing the lead. The mustache. Mm-hmm. It's an 80 grade mustache.
And he colors it. He colors it.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of got to let it.
What if it's kind of like Brian Wilson-y. It's okay. You know, it adds to the effect.
Yeah, you're okay. Pitcher, like, okay.
There's an act to it.
I'm just like, be yourself, dude. You know, have your own mustache hair color. That's what I do. Don't you want to be like me, Peyton Tolley, with your own mustache?
Sandy, are you going to shave your beard for tomorrow? Are you just going to go straight mustache in like solidarity? Or is that the right word? Solidarity? Oh,
yeah, maybe I should do that. Solidarity mustache. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it for tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
Nice. I love it. Pat, you joining in?
No, Sandy's going to go with the soul patch. Just right about here.
All right, Pat is kicked off the show. How about that? Enjoy your Nickelback.
Some nice red mutton chops.
Gordo can grow none of that, so hell yeah.
Can you not grow? You look like you have a little bit of a mustache.
There's something.
No,
I mean,
no, he's got a little bit of a little neck beard.
There, yeah. It's pretty much. I try so hard to make it not look like a neck beard, but that's exactly what it is. It is
you
a neck beard.
Shave your face and not shave your neck, so you literally have a neck beard and nothing on your like chin or cheeks or anything. Just, oh my god!
Some people do some crazy things with their facial hair. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Remember when Mike Fiers did the sideburn into the curled mustache?
Yeah, you sure did. I was not thinking guy, of Tom, he was the me. One who
You're not that guy.
Okay. He outed the Astros, right? That was him.
That was him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
That's what he's known for. What? Imagine that. You have a career in Major League Baseball, and you're known for having a spiral facial hair and breaking a scandal.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Good for him, man. Be remembered. Any way you can.
Didn't he have like a bad
thing? A what?
Hold on. I think he had a bad thing. I think he had like a bad allegation against him.
Well, he hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face with a pitch and broke his face. That was him too.
This is worse. What? I don't think I should say this on the podcast.
Oh God. Oh, okay.
Yikes.
Wow, but look at that facial hair though, huh? Yeah, weird guy.
Yeah. I'm not gonna talk about this on the pod, but if you want to hear, you can look it up yourself.
Yeah.
Mike Flyers.
I said you want to be remembered, but maybe not.
Not for that.
Not in that way.
Yikes. Yeah, we don't condone Mike Fiers on this podcast, but he did have interesting facial hair.
Ooh. Yeah, he did. He did. He had a lot of interesting things happen in his career, but...
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is 6 times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys, Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Should we talk about the series a little bit? The last couple of games, we talked about the first couple of games. The first thing that happened after that, Roman Anthony hit another leadoff homer. Pretty cool. He's just really good. He's the youngest. This was one of those like stretch stats, but whatever. I think it's still cool. The youngest player in Major League history to hit 2 leadoff home runs in the same road series. Like, that's the definition of a stretch stat, but like, still cool.
I love baseball stats with multiple qualifiers, but yeah, no,
I had like six of them. Like,
you know what? I mean, people follow me on social media for my groundbreaking baseball analysis. And when Roman Anthony hit that leadoff home run, I said he should just do that every game. So thanks for listening and follow me on Twitter.
He's really good. And then in the fourth game, he did not hit a leadoff homer, but he hit a leadoff single and was promptly out on a double play ball. But he's really good. The game was frustrating, right? Like, Sox get the run on the Anthony home run, and then you had the Connor Wong pass ball and the ball that Sadon missed diving that I feel like he catches 199 times out of 200. And then the Orioles go up 2-1 off of the ball that fell in between Duran and Sadon. And I see a lot of people debating which one of their balls that was. To me, like, it's either of them, man. They both had – both guys had an over 80% catch probability on that. It's just – it's. I mean, it was more Duran's ball, but it's also on Sadon to call him off because he's a center fielder and, like, that's just what he does. Like, place the blame both ways. Like, either which way, that ball's just got to be caught.
Yeah, I think I'm the biggest Sadon Bobo on the podcast. I'm always talking about how much I like him. That's on him. He's got to communicate. Whether or not it's his ball to catch – he's the center fielder. Duran has to defer to the center fielder. You're taught that at every level when you're growing up playing outfield. So as much as I love Sadon, I think that one's on him. That shit can't happen. This defense has been so good for the second half of the season. Or actually, more than that, since like June.
Since May.
Since the end of May. They've been awesome. So disappointing to see that happen. Almost cost them a game. Would have been even more painful if that had happened. But then, did you guys notice that Sadon's home run was right, his game-winning home run was right over the spot where they made that error? That was kind of symbolic.
I didn't notice that.
It was right over it. But yeah, I think that's on Sadon. Sorry, Sadon.
Yeah, I think post-game, didn't Jaron say, Jaron took the blame for it. He said something like, whenever I hear his footsteps, I know he's there. Like, it should have been my ball. Like, I get that. Like, I guess if Sadon doesn't directly call you off, then I guess go for it. But no, I mean, 99 out of 100 times this year, if Sadon is in the vicinity, he's calling him off making that catch. So Jaron, to assume that that's going to happen, I understand. I mean, I can understand people being mad at Jaron for not continuing with the play until he gets called off. But to assume he's going to get called off is not some crazy thing. Like, Sadon catches everything.
Yeah.
So it was just a weird thing, like, that of all balls, he didn't call him off and just ran over to it was just a weird thing. Thank God it didn't end up fucking them. But
yeah. I mean, we hold the guy, understandably, to such a high standard in center field because of what he's done his entire career out there. It's like that game three of this series was like the first time that he like didn't like that he just like legitimately just like didn't have a very good game in the outfield. And like, he's entitled to have one not good game and it's okay. And like, he's going to be great every other game. And it makes it all that much better when, yeah, maybe he didn't have a great game in center field, but he hits the goddamn 2-run homer in the ninth to win you the goddamn ball game. One inning after you had David Hamilton and Connor Wong, or Connor Wong on third, Hamilton on first, no outs. Speed on first base, like the tying runs on third, the go-ahead runs on first, and you've got Anthony, Bregman, Story, right? Story was hitting third this game. Yes. Mm-hmm. Duran four, Sadon five, weird lineup with the opener. But you had your three dudes up with your two worst hitters get on base, and they can move, and they're fast, and no one even gets the tying run home. Like, that was ready to be one of those losses where it's like, yeah, they're probably going to win the crochet game and take 3 out of 4. But like, that's a loss that makes you want to kill yourself. But like, doesn't matter when Sadon, I went absolutely berserk when he hit that home run.
Yeah, that was great. He also, and not to harp on the platinum glove contenders defensive mistake. He also, I forget what inning it was. There was a bloop that fell in for a hit. Where he dove, he almost caught it, kind of rolled over on his wrist. And, you know, a lot of people will be like, yeah, you know, it's a tough play. If you watch the replay, he broke the wrong direction right when the ball came off the bat. He broke to his right, which he almost never, ever does. That might be a product of him playing more games at second base, in recent days than he normally does. He's not getting the same outfield reps. He's an amazing defender, but he's still a human. So, yeah, I hate when Sedan's not in center field. I get why he's not always in center field, but then stuff like that happens where he's not at his best and you're not getting the most out of him. And then I get frustrated because I want him to win the Platinum Glove so I can talk about him and call him a Platinum Glove winner next year nonstop. It'd be really annoying. What's up, Gordo?
Question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What is the better lineup or the better overall construction of the team that day? Is it Duran? Is it having one of your outfielders DH and Sedan plays center and Hamilton's at second? Or is it Sedan at second, the other three outfielders, like this is when Abreu's healthy, the other three outfielders in the outfield and Yoshida DHing? Like what I'm asking is going from Yoshida in the lineup to Hamilton in the lineup such a steep drop off that it's not worth the upgrade of now having Sedan in center and Hamilton at second? Because to me, that's the better lineup.
I mean, right now, the best lineup is David Hamilton at second base. David Hamilton and Connor Wong are playing good baseball. For the first time literally all season, David Hamilton and Connor Wong are playing good baseball. David Hamilton is probably just as good, probably a little bit better, second base defense-wise. The outfield defense, when it's at its peak, you have Duran, Rafaela, and then Roman, I guess for right now. Not the Roman part. I'm just saying Willie is not out in the outfield yet. Right now, that's your best lineup by far. And then you have either, you know, Roman, Duran, Willier, one of those guys DH. Massa, vibes, King sucks this year. And it's not, you're to the point now where like you gotta, they brought up Peyton freaking Toley. Like you're at the point where you gotta go with your best lineup, give yourself the best chance to win. We said the same thing about pulling Walker Buehler out of the rotation. You are now at the point where your best lineup right now, and that is such a fluid situation that can change at any given moment, is David Hamilton at second base, one of the outfielders DHing.
I agree with Dr. P. I think one of the most underrated aspects of this entire Red Sox team is David Hamilton's second base defense. He's been awesome. And I'm a big, big middle infield defense guy. Just as a fan, I feel so much more calm when I know that you have Story and Hamilton, and Rafael is a good defender too at second, but Hamilton's the best option there. He is playing well right now, like Pat said, first time all year. Same with Connor Wong. I think that it seems like Yoshida is not 100%, and not to defend him, because I know he gets a litany of excuses for why his play isn't good in 2023 and 2024, and then this year he gets all the excuses because everyone loves Massa, and I get it. He's very likable. He's funny. He has the best complexion you've ever seen. Not a bump or a scratch on his skin. It's perfect.
The teeth
are amazing. He's got his belt up to his nipples. He's got gigantic thighs. He's very high vibes wise.
He's fascinating.
He's fast. He has the most perfect running form you've ever seen. He has interesting quotes in Japanese. We can't understand that, but when they're translated, they're interesting. It's just he doesn't have the strength in that shoulder that he hits with, and it's the ground balls to second base every fucking time. A gentle ground ball to second base, I can't take it anymore. So yeah, and he's striking out, which he never used to do. That was the
he's
one
not
thing.
Walking.
You strike out way too much. Well, Yoshida would help with that. Well, now he's not helping with that. And I cannot imagine if and when this team makes the playoffs, he is not going to be on that roster. He does not do enough. He doesn't help defensively. He's not a good base runner. All he does is make contact on paper, but he hasn't been doing that either. So what does he do? What do you do here, Masataka Yoshida, other than provide some great vibes? So yeah, hate to talk bad about the guy. I feel like I do it way too much. People think I like personally hate the dude, but I don't. It's just I want this team to win, and I don't think he's one of your best players.
He's hitting .226 with a .615 OPS. He has two home runs, one of which I believe was off a position player.
Yes.
We saw Massa at his best in the first half of the 23 season, kind of after like kind of a weird first three, four-ish weeks. Was amazing in May and June of that season, like terrific. But no, Sammy, you're right. He doesn't give you anything in the field. Doesn't really give you anything on the bases besides an entertaining like whoosh, 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 whoosh. Like that's he's just
hammering
he's
the nail, hammering the nail when he's right. running. It's like how the football coach or your track coach would hammer the nail, the hammer form. The nail. Yeah.
But it's like if you can by taking him out of the lineup and inserting David Hamilton into the lineup, who, as Pat pointed out, has been playing good ball, even like as a hitter lately, he's been hitting the ball. But so by going from Massa to Hamilton in the lineup, you now get to go from Duran to Sadon in center, and you go from Sadon to Hamilton at second. It's two big upgrades there, especially in center field. Getting Sadon out there is huge. And yeah, to me, like, I mean, they're going to be patient with Sadon, patient with Yoshida. Cora has said they're going to be patient with Yoshida. We'll see how long they can be. I mean, to me, the best iteration of this lineup against right-handed pitching, David Hamilton's in there.
Mm-hmm. I would give Yoshida up until late September, because who knows? Maybe it clicks. Maybe his shoulder isn't banged up like I was saying. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it clicks, and then you have a good contact bat. Even if he's not starting, you have him off the bench in the playoffs, and that could be huge. It's just hard. It's hard to envision that, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and he's said it. He said he's had good days and bad days with the shoulder. Like he's told the media, and like sometimes these quotes get buried because he's not saying it in English, but like he has said, I think to the Japanese media that he's had up days and down days. Like it's still, the shoulder is still a thing. So it like, yeah, maybe that clouds your, cause we'll have a bunch of conversations about Yoshida in the offseason, his role in the team moving forward. If he's with the team moving forward, if you trade the guy, if he's tradable, if you have the DFA, like these are going to be conversations we have all offseason. And part of that conversation is going to be, well, he was hurt again. And that was part of the conversation last year. It was, oh, he's playing hurt this year. When he's healthy next year, how's it going to be? And now he's still maybe just playing hurt the whole time. So can they afford to do that going forward? It'll be a conversation that we have going forward.
Meanwhile, the guy who Yoshida kind of sort of indirectly replaced, in my eyes, this is who they took or who they passed on instead of Yoshida. Kyle Schwarber has hit four home runs tonight. He's at 49.
There is a chance it's going to the bottom of the eighth. It goes, think 8-9-1 maybe, or 7-8-9. He hits second. So if guys get on, there is a chance he goes for five home runs. He also has nine RBI tonight. It's all right. It'll be on the 2026 Sox.
I was gonna say past and future Red Sox. Let's make our wrongs right and bring Schwarbs back. You add Schwarbs to this team. This team's already so good. You add Schwarbs to this team. Oh man. That's another conversation we'll have in the offseason. Let's talk a little bit about the second game real fast before we go to Nuff Said. I mean, the thing that stands out obviously was the Crochet performance, where like traffic throughout the game, six innings, there was traffic almost all of them. And it definitely felt like he wasn't commanding the ball, just didn't really have a good feel for things. And you never see that from him. Like it just feels like he's always on his game. Yet despite all of that, six innings, two runs, didn't walk a guy, seven Ks. Like when he's bad, he's still really good and did everything you needed to win yet another one run game. Like if he, and I know he had some good defense behind him, that Trevor Story diving play saved two runs and really changed the game. Trevor Story had just an unbelievable game today, but the fact that Crochet was able to do what he did and limit the damage the way he was able to, despite not having his stuff, like he is such an obvious top of the line ace, like not a normal ace. Just like there are what, 10, 12, 15 aces in baseball. Like he's in the top three pitchers in baseball right now.
Yeah, like a true ace. Well, that definition gets a little bit foggy, but if we're up to me, I think there's like 10 guys, I would say. There's like a good, like a number one, like Dylan Cease is a number one, but he's not an ace. That makes sense. Crochet is a fucking bona fide ace at this point. He have we ever seen him hit two batters in a game? Ever? I don't think we have.
But, he hit Gunner and then, oh yeah, he hit the guy in the back. Was it Jackson?
Jackson, yeah, they're number
nine
guys.
That was scary.
That was very weird. He struggled to get the Orioles' backup catcher out of all guys.
Took him deep.
Yeah, smoked it too. That was like 97 and up. Whew. Can't win them all. Even Garrett Crochet is technically human and pig.
But he did win it, so maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe you can win them all. What am I saying?
Might be able to win them all, but yeah. I mean, I do want to talk a little bit about what Trevor Story did. I mean, first of all, in this series, secured a 2020 season. He's going to get 25-25. He's going to make a run at 30-30. He's probably not going to get 30-30, but like he'll probably get 30 steals and what, like 26, 27, 28 homers. Like he'll make a run at it. And the game that he had today, hitting the home run in the first inning and then making the huge diving play to double off Holiday at third, which saved two runs, and then making that unbelievably heads-up play in the ninth to nab Carlson at third on the ground ball. Like a lot of shortstops, you know, the game's on the line. You take the out at first. You hope that in most situations it's your closer. In this situation, it was Matt's. Like you hope he gets a strikeout. But Story on his toes, he had to make a quick decision, made the throw to third, had Carlson by a mile. Like three plays right there that really defined the game, and all of them were Trevor Story.
The defensive plays preserved the lead, and then the home run was the home run. He had a great game. I have a question for you guys. Friend of the program, Julian McWilliams, had a tweet the other day before this game on Thursday, and he said, Trevor Story is the MVP of the Red Sox. Now, we discussed who's the best player on the Red Sox. Position players, we're just talking, not talking pitchers. And I said Roman Anthony. The conversation was, is it Roman Anthony or Bregman? But MVP is a different question because Roman hasn't been on the team all year, so he can't be MVP. Bregman missed a lot of time, so it's hard for me to say he's the MVP. Is it fair to say Story, who anchors the infield defense and has been hitting and running well, is he the team MVP?
I think it's fair to say. I mean, since we're talking about value, like you said, we're not talking about the best player. We're talking about most valuable player. I feel like even though he missed a bunch of time, I would still lean Bregman for it just because he's produced so much on the field. And like you hear the way guys talk about him, like Sadon, when he went on his hot streak, attributed it to working with Bregman. Giolito says Bregman figured out that the Yankees had his changeup. You saw what he did in the series against the Orioles. Like Bregman changed the entire culture around the team. He's brought up these kids. He's part of the reason Roman's having as much success as he is. And so I'll give it to him. But Story, the fact that he's even making that a conversation, and I think if you polled people, a lot of them would agree with that sentiment. And with how bad he was for that stretch, the fact that it's even a conversation is crazy.
Yeah, I think I probably lean Bregman just because, don't get me wrong, like they have marched to the beat of Story's drum all year. When Story goes, the Sox go. And that's factual. I just think on field and then kind of behind the scenes stuff that Bregman provided, like more or less completely mentoring all of the young guys, telling Giolito he's tipping pitches, playing unreal defense, just mashing, completely and utterly mashing when he's on the field. He checked every box you expected. I think even just beyond the field, he's been incredible. He's been so valuable to this team. I completely understand the Story argument. If anyone believes it's Story, credit to you. He's probably my 1B. It's like 1A, B, C, Crochet, Story, Bregman. I still lean Bregman, though.
War-wise, B-war-wise, and this is not counting the Thursday game, which his war will undoubtedly go up. Story's a 3.1, which is a ton. That means, so Bregman, 3.8, though. That is with the missed time. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's how good Bregman's been, even including his 3-4-game slump that he's had. So, I mean, you could see the argument either way. It's not all about stats, and you guys both mentioned how Bregman's been coaching up the young guys. So, but you know, Story had Story Camp too, so he contributes. It's a worthwhile conversation. The fact that we're talking about is Trevor Story the team MVP after the tenure he's had with the Red Sox, with the injuries and the underperforming, it's just great that we're even able to discuss this.
Joe?
I have a question then to that question, which relates to, on Sox Booth Twitter, I put together a poll for today's game that asked whose success this year has been the most surprising. And the options were Chapman, Story, Bayo, and then like a write-in option. I want to ask you guys, is Story the most surprising player who's had the success this year? Or how would you answer that poll?
I would say Story. I was very, like, I don't know. I don't want to say I wrote him off, but I mean, before the season, I definitely was not counting on much. Like, did I expect him to be on the field as much as he's been this year? No. Did I expect him to produce anywhere close to the way he's producing? No, because we just haven't seen that since maybe a stretch in his first season, but then he got hurt. Like, we just haven't seen this from him. So yeah, it is really surprising to me. It's a testament to him that he's done it.
For me, I'm actually going to go the other way. I think that I would go Chapman at age 37, having a career year. If you say you expected that, then I think you're a liar. That, to me, is the biggest surprise by far. And second, I would go Brian Bayo. We're in August, and he missed some time early on, and he's here with a 2.99 ERA last episode and the one before, talking about, is he a real number two starter? Like that would sound crazy to me back in March or before that. Story for me, it was always a matter of, can he stay healthy? Never really had a doubt he could put these seasons together. I can pull the tweets from before 2023 and before 2024. It was always, if he stays healthy, 2020 with good defense. That's a good ball player. So not really surprised that Story's having this season. Just happy he's been able to stay on the field and finally be able to put it together so people can see this is the player the Red Sox thought they were getting when they signed him.
Dude. Fuck the preseason. This is a guy, first week of June, I was saying DFA. It is so easily Story for me. Not like, don't get me wrong. Like, if anyone looked you dead in the eye in March, it was like, Aroldis Chapman's probably going to win reliever of the year, have a sub 1-1 ERA, have a career year, and not move out of the closer role the entirety of the season. That's a lie. That being said, Aroldis Chapman historically is a very, very good reliever. I would say great reliever. So I expected him to be well above average, good, very good, slash great. Didn't expect how great he is, but I expected him to be pretty good. Bayo, any step forward for me was a step forward, happy with it, whatever. Because I think if you go back to March, we had all kind of painted him in as the five, I believe. Because I think we were saying Crochet, Buehler, Giolito,
no, Bayo, Crochet, oh,
Tanner, yes, Crochet, Hauk, Buehler, and then some combo of Bayo, Giolito. So he was like a four or five.
Which is exactly how it played out, of course, famously. Yeah,
so that's like my point being is we were so content with him being a five or four and playing above that. So, the fact that he's pitching like a true number two is an unbelievable blessing. That's insane. But Story,
another great game in this series. He was terrific again.
Yeah. And like, it's just Story for me going back to February, going back to March, going back to April. Like, this was a guy that I thought was truly a placeholder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
For Marcelo, hand up. I'm an idiot. This is why I'm not Craig Breslow. This is why I don't run the Red Sox. He's been nothing short of great this season. He bounced back in the best way possible. He's healthy. He's hitting home runs. He's stealing bases. He's knocking runs in. He's playing great defense. He has been the best surprise of the year for me.
Well, the key, if you want to reconfigure things and rephrase the question, everyone else you ask about them, like you ask about Chapman, Bayo, everyone else in spring training, but you ask about Story on like June 1st, then I think it's hands down not even remotely a debate. Like the fact that Trevor Story went from straight up not being able to get a hit to being the best RBI man on the team, the captain of the defense, like hitting, he's going to hit 25 plus homers, steal 25 plus bases. He still hasn't been caught stealing. Like to go from where he was this season to where he is now, I mean, it's nothing short of remarkable, and like very nice to see him have a game like today so he can get that recognition, you know, go to a homestand like on such a high note. And, you know, you just got to be nothing but happy for him. So shout out Trevor Story. Last thing before we get to enough said, Sammy, you got something?
I was just going to say, we got to get Trevor Story on the show.
Oh, yeah, we definitely got to.
We spoke to him. He said he's down. We just got to go do it.
We should. Pending rain delay, try and grab Tolley Saturday.
Yes.
Yes.
Peyton.
So we're going to be doing radio, so we may not even have time.
Oh, true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Did you guys
we'll get Tolley on the show at some point. He's a great interview.
Yeah. Did you guys see the quote that Peyton Tolley's late mother said to him?
Yeah.
I saw that, yeah.
If you're a fan of Winnie the Pooh, be a Tigger, not an Eeyore. I love that.
Great lines, or great words to live by.
Although Eeyore is an all-time character.
They all are.
Yeah.
But still, you know, if you're gonna emulate one in your life, be a Tigger.
You want to bounce around on your tail.
Nailed it. last thing before we get to enough said, just shout out Steven Matz. 0.78 ERA with the Red Sox. Got the save today. Worked around the leadoff double, obviously with the help of Story. He's just been really good. Very happy to have him. Who wants to go first for enough said?
Me.
Pat does. Yeah. Let's hear it.
I want to follow Pat because ours are. Oh, boy, am I heated.
Okay. Contrary to what Gordo said. Whoa.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Sorry. Contrary to what Gordo said, Patriots, New Jersey's fuck. They're awesome. They are so cool. I love
Tennessee
the white helmet.
Patriots.
Nope. That you're thinking of North Carolina,
the New England Titans.
No, I know what.
Going college. Yeah. I thought you were going college.
The Indianapolis Patriots.
No, the white helmet with that like grayish blue logo is gorgeous. I love the color blue that they used. I love that it's going to be them wearing them against the Bills, and the Bills are wearing like the whiteout jerseys. Chef's kiss. They're not perfect by any means. The red ones are still the best one they have. But I mean, come on, dude. These are great.
The Indianapolis Patriots, the New England Colts.
See, okay. I think you're both wrong. I think they're fine. I don't think they're the worst.
Pick a side.
No. I'm being honest. They're good. If I had to pick a side, I'd say I like them. I like the color. I like that kind of gray blue. It's very nor'easter, which is the look they're going for. It's supposed to be storm New England colors. I like the netting in the numbers is supposed to be like an homage to the fishermen in New England. You see the fishing stuff in the background. I think they did an okay job. It's not my favorite. I just don't understand why the Patriots don't just pick the red uniforms or the 90s royal blue ones and just make those the alts or wear them every friggin' home game. They keep doing other things and it's just frustrating.
Two things. Gordo, the second you see those uniforms in actual snow, you're going to be like, these look incredible. These look phenomenal. The second one, and this, I didn't think this was a hot take. Apparently this is scorching hot, like Roman's hot sauce hot.
Ooh.
I think the 90s royal blue with the giant Patriot logo over the shoulders is so fucking hideous.
It's weird. They're wild. I don't blame you for thinking. I love them personally, but they're very 90s. It reminds me of the like Toronto Raptors with the Velociraptor, just very a bold design. Which is a perfect segue into Gordo with the worst take of all time.
Oh my
God. Absolute worst take I've ever heard. He said these Patriots uniforms are the worst Boston sports uniform he can remember. And I sent him, we have it in the chat, Joe, if you can pull up the picture. The Celtics uniforms that are, there it is, gray with the sleeves. Those are way worse. And then Gordo goes,
oh my God, the reply.
Gordo says he likes those uniforms. So not only does he say they're not the worst, he likes them. I was furious when he said this. Those are so bad. Look at those.
Dude, nothing beat Isaiah Thomas. Ready? Here, Joe, pull us back. Nothing beat Isaiah Thomas in the grays. Like, that dude balled out.
No. Just put on the whites or the greens. You don't need gray with sleeves.
Question. The NBA Finals, the Cavs versus Warriors, the 3-1 comeback, LeBron wins that championship in the sleeves. Did you hate all the sleeve jerseys or just the Celtics one?
I hated all the sleeve jerseys, and I think the Celtics were the worst of all.
Dude, those were so bad.
Can I just point? I got to point something out about that picture. That's from 2015. That was before Isaiah Thomas became Isaiah Thomas.
True. 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 He had those uniforms adopted.
So that's kind of against your argument, but I did tease you guys that I was going to break the tie or whatever. I'm on Sammy and Pat's side. I like him.
Yeah.
Dude. I'm not like Pat. I got killed today
for not liking these things.
Yeah, because you have no style.
I got great style. What are you talking about, Joe?
This is how I feel when talking about the Red Sox, yellow and blue City Connects. I'm like the only guy who doesn't like them. I think they look like either a Peeps advertisement or UCLA baseball. So now you know how I feel. And again, I don't love these Patriots uniforms. I think they're okay. I get what they represent. I think it'll probably, like Pat said, it'll look sick on the field. But dude, that gray Celtic sleeve uniform take, Gordo. That is your worst take ever. By far. Bottom of the barrel. Throw it out.
I like it. Let's keep track of Gordo's worst takes. Because there are a few takes I've gotten crushed for as much as the not liking this Patriots jersey take. And I just think people, I don't know. Welcome to the Indianapolis Patriots, baby. We're moving the team. We're going to Tennessee. The Titans. The New England Titans. My enough said was going to be fully related to these things too, so I don't have one today.
Man.
So I think we're just going to wrap it on these. Sammy?
I just want to reiterate, Gordo likes the gray sleeve jerseys. He doesn't just say they're not bad. He likes them. Just want to remind everyone.
To top it off on that, I liked all the NBA sleeve jerseys. Everyone thinks all that right. era was
end
the worst.
Show.
I
end the show. End the show right now.
Joe, this mute him.
This is disgusting.
If... Mute me. You can mute me. You're not going to wrap it.
I'll wrap it if I need. You want me to wrap it?
Hey, thanks for tuning in to episode 257 of Playtesting. No! Oh, I'm drowning. Oh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. No. Oh, subscribe. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button there too. You can find the Playtesting episodes in the Playtesting playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all those. We really appreciate it. And then find us on all the socials at Playtesting on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe, producing, for Pat. Wow, I did that in a weird order. It's Gordo here for Playtesting episode 257. We got Peyton Tully on the bump today on drop day. Thanks for tuning in. Pat's jersey stink. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive?
Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.